McIntosh's paper, the third one, is based on fieldwork conducted in Kenya. She looks at choral texts sung during funerary rites, texts that are notable for being quite sexually explicit. Though the author or leader of the song may be male, this is largely a female enterprise, and the content of the songs stands in stark contrast to the reserved sexual mores imposed on women in the society. The obvious theoretical context for her data, McIntosh proposes, is the study of women's oppositional rituals, in which liminal occasions provide the opportunity for the expression of resistance against patriarchy and traditional social norms. But she feels such an approach will not be sufficient, so she looks to the participant framework model of linguistic pragmatics, developed largely by Irving Goffman. The idea here is that the meaning of an utterance is not solely a function of syntax and lexicon. One also has to consider multiple relationships between utterances and people. The participant framework model typologizes large numbers of such relationships so as to disambiguate the meaning of utterances that, removed from their social contexts, are irredeemably ambiguous. What's interesting from our perspective is how the process works. Goffman, as interpreted by McIntosh, argues that participant frameworks are a function of two things: the speaker's intention and the interaction of all interlocutors. Unfortunately, McIntosh loses track of the participant framework approach by the end of her paper. The data she references are the texts of particular songs, and she doesn't provide any information on contexts of performance. Instead, she looks just at the text sung and finds, unsurprisingly, that they're ambiguous. Her ultimate explanation ends up sounding almost structural functional when she argues that the ambiguity of the songs mirrors the ambiguous attitudes towards women's sexuality in the larger society. We thus see why McIntosh might want to reference Humphrey and Laidlaw's book. They argue that the identity of a ritual act does not depend on an agent's intention. Rather, it's stipulated by the culture itself. Goffman slash McIntosh's approach, in contrast, goes in exactly the opposite direction, making the agent's intentions a clear component of ritual meaning. Though, albeit, intentions aren't the whole story, because pragmatics of the ritual act can't be ignored. Unfortunately, McIntosh never develops this line of argument. In any case, her reference to Humphrey and Laidlaw is clearly apposite, but unfortunately parenthetic as well. The reference occurs in a footnote, and she draws no conclusions directly from it. It looks like she's choosing to avoid a theoretical confrontation. Or perhaps it doesn't occur to her to do so, even when she's looking at theories that seem to call for it.